It was 5:42 a.m. on May Day, 1983, in the west of England, and a sliver of the sun had edged above the ridge. But it was still cool and almost dark in the shallow valley, where the brook ran clear and straight, until it made a sweeping left-hand curve before the weir a mile farther downstream. A bridge of three planks crossed the brook near a farmhouse, carrying the footpath to the farther side, diverting walkers away. Not that this path was ever well travelled. Walkers somehow failed to see the start of this particular path, under the ancient oak next to the crossroad, at the hamlet near the weir. A young woman came out of the farmhouse, yawning, her eyes half shut, her mind still mostly lost in a dream that had seemed so real. Susan Arkshaw, who had turned 18 years old as of 2 minutes ago, was striking rather than immediately attractive, with her vibrant black eyebrows in stark contrast to her closely razored head, the stubble dyed white blonde. She wore a 1968 Jimi Hendrix summer tour t-shirt, given to her mother 15 years ago by a roadie. The t-shirt was big enough to serve as a nightdress, because she was not tall, though very wiry and muscular. People often thought she was a professional dancer or gymnast, though she was neither. Her mother, who was tall and slight, without the muscle, said Susan took after her father, which was possibly true. Susan had never met him, and this was one of the few details her mother had ever shared. Susan walked to the brook and knelt to dip her hand in the cool, clear water. She'd had the recurring dream again, familiar since her childhood. She frowned, trying to recall it in more detail. It always started the same way, here at the brook. She could almost see it. A disturbance in the water suggested a fish rising at first, until it became a great roiling and splashing, too big for any fish. Slowly, as if drawn up by an invisible rope, a creature rose from the heart of the swift current in the middle of the brook. Its legs and arms and body were made from weed and water, willow sticks and reeds. Its head was a basket shaped of twisted alder roots, with orbs of swirling water as limpid eyes. And its mouth was made of two good-sized crayfish, claws holding tails, crustacean bodies forming an upper and lower lip. Bubbling and streaming clear, cold water, the creature sloshed a dozen yards across the grass and then stone paving to the house, and, raising one long limb, lashed green willow ends upon window glass, once, twice, three times. The crayfish mouth moved, and a tongue of pondweed emerged to shape words, wet and sibilant. "I watch and ward." The river creature turned, and walking back, lost height and girth and substance, until, in the last few paces, it became little more than a bundle of stuff, such as the brook might throw ashore in flood. The only sign of its presence, a trail of mud upon the flagstone path that lined the front of the house. Susan rubbed her temples and looked behind her. There was a trail of mud on the flagstones, from house to brook. But her mother had probably gotten up even earlier and been pottering about, shuffling in her gumboots. A raven cawed from the rooftop. Susan waved to it. There were ravens in her dream as well, but bigger ones, much larger than any that actually existed, and they talked as well, though she couldn't remember what they said. She always remembered the beginning of the dream best. It got confused after the brook creature. Besides the ravens, there was also something about the hill above the farmhouse. A creature emerged from the earth there, a kind of lizard thing of stone, possibly even a dragon. Susan smiled, thinking about what all this meant. Her subconscious hard at work fantasizing, fueled by too many fantasy novels and a childhood diet of Susan Cooper, Tolkien, and C.S. Lewis. The brook creature and the huge ravens and the earth lizard should all make up a nightmare. But the dream wasn't frightening. Quite the reverse, in fact. She always felt strangely comforted after she had the dream.